It is good to see all of you here this morning. Appreciate your presence and encouragement. We have some that are out of town. Need to continue to remember them in your prayers. This is Memorial Day weekend, and when we lived in Indiana, that was a big, big thing because of the race. Of course, one of the more important ones maybe that will be run tomorrow is in Daytona, Florida. But I realized, I think, at that point, that I liked car racing. It was interesting. It was thrilling, always. But it taught me something else. I, like most people, probably you as well, I love beginnings. You know, when that at a car race, when that man drops that green flag and the race takes off, it's thrilling. But there's a lot of things that are thrilling in life. The birth of a baby, rather it might be, or a grandbaby. Its first words, its first steps. Maybe a new job or a new skill that one picks up. Gets excited about those kinds of things. The purchase of a house or a new car. All of those things kind of carry with it the idea of beginnings and how great they are. In fact, the word beginning, by definition, as the word implies more. Unless it's interrupted, it implies not only continuance, but endurance to completion as well. The beginning is important, but endurance to completion is also inferred and implied in the word. And it is also exciting. We spend a lot of time in our life, maybe even in the business world, setting goals, developing plans, getting started in a business, in life, various relationships we sustain and we begin. All of those are beginning, and there's just so many things that are connected to that, developing those plans and all of that. You can even think about the church and its work. You know, we admire commitment. We don't really care a whole lot for quitters. In fact, we really feel sorry for failure to complete a task when that happens. We teach our children, and we try to teach them the thrill of beginnings and also the idea of finishing the task as well. But it takes character to see a task through to its end. Many of life's greatest expectancies require a good deal of discipline and courage to stick to whatever task might be assigned until it is finished. And of course, we avoid distractions along the way. But for many, the road gets rough. And when the road gets rough, then they get weary. And we have to avoid that, if at all possible, ourselves. And it's true in the home, between parents and children, between husbands and wives. We see it on the job, because of the efforts that are involved in accomplishing the goals that are set. In our own lives, we set goals, and we begin to work on those goals. But sorrow, illness, disappointments do come in life. And oftentimes, when we see those things in the church, discouragements over controversies and failures oftentimes result in apathy or loss of interest. But all of these negative things and relationships are there, and they're there spiritually as well. And there are spiritual implications in all these areas of life. The Christian must not lose sight of his spiritual goals, and there are goals other than just heaven. That's certainly the goal of every child of God. But before that, and working toward that, involves many other goals that we set for ourselves. The objectives are too important for ourselves, for the church, and the lost, especially in this present time, that we would neglect them. The rewards are too great to neglect. Let's look at a few passages along this line. In Galatians chapter 6, if you'd be turning there, Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Another passage along these same lines about the fact that this is not the time to give up. I don't care how discouraged or disappointed we might be, this is not the time for us to give up. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 55, it says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Another passage along the same lines in 1 Peter chapter 5. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you." All of those things. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse, we oftentimes read verse 7 and 8, but notice what it says in verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So this is not a time to give up. This is a time to rejoice and be happy over the opportunities that lie ahead of us, that we can do God's bidding. Another passage along the same lines would be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, which is another familiar verse to us about following Christ and our need to do just that. Another passage, though, when we think about all of these things, how many do you know people, a person who has obeyed the gospel, and they start out with a great deal of zeal, and they stick with it? How long does that zeal stay? Not as long as we would like. Oftentimes we see it dwindling very fast upon obedience. But we have to look at the new beginning. And the beginning as a child of God, the beginning of a relationship with God, with Christ, and with our fellow Christians. All of those are new beginnings that we can have, and that can be exciting and be blessed. We can set a good example for them and they for us. So we need to understand that to make it through these times of trials and tests of our faith, we need to realize and understand that in order to make it through, we're going to have to solicit Christ's help so that we might do just exactly that. So seeing it through to the end is truly involves spiritual things, spiritual matters. Jesus said there in John chapter 12, verse 26, says, if anyone serve me, let him follow me. That calls for a spiritual approach to life. Jesus further said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that no man can serve two masters. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, he came to Jesus and he was told to be born again. And he says, how can a man be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb the second time? And of course, that was the wrong thinking. But there was a new beginning. He was probably a very well-respected individual of his day. Possibly may have been wealthy. We don't really know that. But no doubt was a fairly solid citizen. And of course, he was very religious. But something was missing in his life. And he knew it. He just didn't, maybe he couldn't put his finger right on it. But the thing was, true spirituality was the thing that was eluding him. And it eludes so many even to this day. Following Jesus requires a complete change of course in one's life. He wants us to deal with the real problems of life. What am I going to live my life in? A career. What are you going to choose? What am I going to live my life with? Or who am I going to live my life with? Your spouse. And for what am I going to live my life? Isn't that just a prelude to other things that we see? Serious questions. Questions that we all have to grapple with at one time or the other in our life. But we continue to deal with those things as we go through life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? All of those things. Most people today, your friends, your neighbors, and mine, are concerned themselves primarily with the trivial fluff of life and outward appearances. Look at First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us there, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 23, it says, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There's also people concern themselves with popularity and position, wealth, honor, recognition, power, all of those things, and we could probably expand the list more than that. But following Christ always involves courage and determination and effort put forth so that we don't give up now. Now is not the time to give up. We must press on, be steadfast in the faith. We need to see it through to the end. We want to be, and we must be, where Christ is. I don't think Jesus was really talking about his physical location, but where is Jesus on the spiritual issues of today? I heard some this morning. Abortion, homosexuality, gambling, drinking, the sanctity of marriage, pedophilia, or child abuse, drugs of all kinds. And the list goes on and on of all of these things, these moral issues of the day. Where does Christ stand on these things? And then where do we stand? We can go even further than that. Where do we stand on materialism of this day? Those kinds of issues. You know, making money and using money. Those are some great lessons that we learn in life as we go through it, if we're trying to be success at life. Gaining position or power or fame, fashion and dress, entertainment of all kinds. And some kinds, what was that thing that you mentioned in class? Job 3, verse 11, or 9 and 11, something like that, about making a covenant with God. 31:1, okay. And just making a covenant with our eyes, with God, that we're not going to put that which is unclean before our eyes and cause us to weaken our faith and ultimately lose our faith if we're not very, very careful. But we also need to think about the spiritual things. How do I view the church? Am I where Christ is? To see it through to the end, we have to believe that he will honor us, just like we read there in John chapter 12. Verse 26. Jesus says if we want to serve him, or we are to serve him, but if we don't, the choices, the consequences are serious. They are indeed grave. But if you want to be honored, you have to live an honorable life. You have to stand up for Jesus and his way. We have to protect each of our special identities as a person, but also as a Christian. I have to be alert to the influences which can affect me in some very subtle ways. Satan doesn't just take you up to the pinnacle of the temple and jump off. He takes it a little bit at a time. Just a little step down. And then tomorrow maybe another step down. And those little steps lead to destruction. We have to be alert to the influences which not only affect me, but also affect others. Especially those who we might consider to be our friends, but they try to lead us further and further away from our friend, Jesus Christ. Now we have to control our thinking and keep our conscience clean. We must not cause our friends or our brethren or anyone else to do wrong. We are setting an example before all those that in front of whom we live. And we need to set that example that is crystal clear and shining. And I have to put Jesus first. In everything, in every relationship. I don't care if it's entertainment you're talking about, or your job, certainly your home, certainly your spouse. All of those, we have to exert influence, or we do exert influence, and we must put Jesus first in all of those areas. All success comes as a result of struggles. Sometimes they're hard, sometimes they're long and difficult, but you can still overcome those things. We must dream dreams. Face the challenges and the changes that come our way in life. And there are going to be difficulties. There'll be times of sorrow, times of happiness too. But remember those memories that we also have. And if we do those things, then we'll succeed. We'll win. Remember what it says over in Revelation? That we are more than conquerors. We're not just victorious. We're more than that. And we think about that was spoken to those of the first century. More than conquerors. When the church looked like it was going to be pressed out of existence by the Roman Empire, John reassures those Christians in the first century that they could be more than conquerors. They were going to be victorious. Where is Rome today? Where are all the other empires that have come and gone since that time? Being a success in life is what the world says and what they seek after. But being a success at life is what's really important. What life is all about is found over there in Ecclesiastes. You know, fear God and keep His commandments. All the those are the things that are really pressing on every one of us to live as a Christian should live. That we're not going to give up. Not today, not next week, not next month, not next year, or however long we live. We don't give up on God and Christ and all that they would have us to do. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, we would like for you to become such. We have a baptistry ready. Garments are prepared. You can be buried with Christ in baptism this very morning. Will you respond as we stand and sing to encourage you?